Just going to take a quick break from the show, everybody, to tell you a little bit more about one of my favorite things in the world, Audible. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love, or there's new stuff to discover all the time in Audible. Incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers to new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business. They got it all here in Audible, and you can have it all too. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, including Small Town Murder, Crime and Sports, and Your Stupid Opinions, with highly anticipated new releases and next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener. And you can keep your heart rate up month after month with this pulse-pounding collection you can't hear anywhere else. The true crime stuff they have is amazing. Right now, what I'm listening to is The Family by Ed Sanders, and it is a full, complete retrospective on the Manson family, kind of all of what they were doing to set their weird stuff up. It is amazing and incredibly detailed. Great stuff, and there's so much more on there. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including bestsellers, new releases, latest stuff. You got it. It's all there. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500. That's audible.com/smalltownmurder or text smalltownmurder to 500-500.
Now back to the show.
This episode is brought to you by Philo.
Oh, philo.tv.
That's right. There's nothing better than unwinding, watching a little TV. But it's a real hassle if with, you know, cable trying to flick through. Cut the cord. Get rid of that. You don't need any of that. Philo has all that you could need here. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month.
What?
Can't beat it. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they have an unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all your favorite shows.
Wow.
Watch them when you want to watch them. Yeah. That's fantastic. Never miss a minute of shows like Death by Fame, Married to Evil, or The Prison Confessions of Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Oh.
Good stuff. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like ID, A&E, and Law and Crime, and many more. With Philo, you can start watching in seconds for less money and much less hassle. Really easy to use, really easy to sign up. Try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/smalltownmurder. That's philo.tv/smalltownmurder to get 50% off your first month.
Now back to the show.
And welcome back to Small Town Murder Express.
Yay! And choo-choo and all that.
Yay, indeed. And all aboard the murder train, everyone. We're pulling away from the station. My name is James Petragallo. I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Thank you, folks, so much for joining us on a crazy edition of Small Town Murder. All of the crazy in a smaller package. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And we have a wild episode for you here today. We'll get to it very quickly. If you want more information, shutupandgivememurder.com. You can get all your merchandise, all of your tickets to live shows. We're going to be in Cincinnati and Detroit coming up. Those are sold out, I think, but you never know. Check back for more tickets. If you want even more Small Town Murder, of course, listen on Thursdays and check out Patreon. That's where you get all the Mona stuff here. Patreon.com/crimeandsports. This week, anybody $5 or above, you're going to get two amazing episodes because you're going to get everything. Crime and Sports bonus, Small Town Murder bonus.
Oh, God.
You're getting it all. This week we have for Crime and Sports a great story of a scam. A guy who showed up at a NASCAR race. Yeah. We're not NASCAR guys, but showed up at a NASCAR race out of nowhere. Faked credentials, crashed like 5 times during this race, then disappeared and no one ever knew who he was.
Until
like 2 weeks ago or something when he came out. And this was 40 years ago and he came out and he goes, let me tell you the story.
It's his own reunion.
It's amazing. Can't wait to hear that. And then for Small Town Murder, we are going to talk about how sometimes pop culture is blamed for murder. Yeah. And we're going to talk about sometimes when video games like that. episode a few episodes ago, right, where the kid was Grand Theft Auto, yeah, they blamed for it, Grand Theft Auto 3, and music and things like that, when they've been blamed for murder.
A couple of historic ones.
It's happened a lot, so we'll talk about it. It was a thing. So patreon.com/crimeandsports, and that is where you get your shout out as well.
Yes.
Good stuff there. That said,
let's go.
Let's do this. Uh-huh. But before we get into the crazy murder part, we need, need to sit back, everybody.
Prepare.
Clear the lungs and shout,
shut up and give me murder.
That's right. Let's go on a trip, Jimmy. Okay. What do you say? Let's do this. We are going all the way down to Texas today.
Oh, yeah.
Back in Texas. Here we are. We are going to North Central Texas here in Aledo, Texas.
It's Aledo.
Uh-huh. I looked it up. I'm sure there's some alternate pronunciation, but that's the way the rest of the world says it. Yeah, it's Aledo, even though there's an E.
Yeah.
You never know with Texas because it's They're going to go their own way. So this is in North Central Texas. It's about 50 minutes outside of Dallas.
Okay.
So you can commute to Dallas. Yeah. And that's what's happened here because right now the population is about 5,000.
Wow.
It's doubled since 2010.
Is that right?
So it's, people going because you can commute to Dallas, basically.
And Dallas has gotten holy shit expensive.
It's expensive. And even here, median income here for a household, it's normally in the country, it's about 54,000. Here, 83,409.
They're
bucks.
Doing great.
So this is like kind of an affluent area, 50 minutes outside the city, nice suburb, that sort of thing. A little tiny drop of history. A post office established in 1880 by Littlebury Rudolph Fox.
What did he do?
He had the coolest name ever. Yeah. That's what he did. Littlebury Rudolph Fox. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Littlebury Fox. I like this guy.
Rudy Fox is a good name. He doesn't even need Littlebury.
Fox is F-A-W-K-S.
What?
Like Hawks, but with an F. Fox.
Very cool.
He Fox. That's like a... You can, say that in front of your grandma. No one knows what you're talking about. So 2 years later, the name it was named Parker at first, and then they changed it to Aledo because it was a suggestion by the Texas and Pacific Railroad, who happened to be from Aledo, Illinois.
Got it.
So he said, why do you name it Aledo?
Yeah, we like it back there.
I know the name of a town. I've been to one. So right from this is from the website. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what Aledo is now.
What is it?
Okay, it is this, quote, Aledo is a dynamic city, combining its historic past with recent award-winning accomplishments in water, sewer, and highway improvements. I want to go to the sewer awards. When are the sewer awards? That sounds exciting. Who's getting slapped at the sewer awards is what I want to know.
Yeah, I want to know what are the achievements other than the water runs and the shit flows? Like what upgrades can you do?
And the award for least amount of shit flowing back into people's homes goes to Aledo, Texas. They give you a toilet bowl.
What kind of shit is this?
I didn't know there was
congratulations on getting water and shit to move.
Tuxedos.
When did they win that?
I don't know. Recent award-winning accomplishments.
Was it post 9/11?
I mean, in Aledo, that recent could be 1945 in this town. We don't know So
that's hilarious.
This, along with a stellar comprehensive plan, has positioned Aledo for ongoing quality managed residential and commercial development with many exciting opportunities in the future. Our family-friendly community, joined with an exceptional school district and annual community events, makes Aledo a great place to live.
They're bragging about having plumbing.
We got plumbing. Come visit us and see for yourself. Come take a dump in our town. Watch how you hit a little lever and it goes away. Never have to deal with it again.
They're bragging, Aledo promise.
They're
bragging about technology from the early 1900s.
You won't have to live with your own poop. That's the Aledo promise, everybody. As mayor of Aledo, I assure you, when you flush the toilet, that poop is gone forever.
They take and get your shit together, literally.
And then he holds up the award. Yeah. Landslide.
Shiny bowl.
Shiny bowl. Very quickly here, a review here. 2 stars. We have a couple of fast food places, 1 Mexican, and some service stations with food.
Okay, that's why they had to get their plumbing together.
Because they have 1 Mexican food and gas station food, which we know from your experience.
That is not good.
It's not good. Not good at all.
That'll create a bad day.
I would say so. And it also said, there's another review that says, quote, the schools are good, but the city infrastructure needs major improvements.
Okay.
They were just bragging about how award-winning.
You just said your infrastructure is terrific.
So there must be a real problem with shit. And they're like, there's no problems with shit here. I guess if someone tells you that, there has been a problem.
There used to be.
And one thing to do, Alito Fest.
All right.
Hey, Alito, Alito. I just keep thinking of that stupid song.
What?
Alito. It's a terrible fucking song from the early 80s.
Did it say Lito?
It's Lito. This is Alito. It's just over. Alito. What? It's the worst song. Jesus Christ. So anyway, bring your family and friends to enjoy Alito's family and fun and family-friendly autumn event. Uh-huh. There it is. It's in the high school parking lot.
It's in a parking lot in fall.
The high school parking lot. They have meet your local businesses at the many vendor booths.
Okay.
There's some stuff. Food trucks. And who's the Rocky Lot Band will be performing. Yeah. So there's that. Enjoy.
They named their band after where they're performing.
Nobody rake the gravel. Because we're the Rocky Lot Band.
Rocky Lot.
They had to hold it there. It's the only place they perform.
Uh-huh.
They won't perform in a smooth venue.
No.
It's not happening. And there's also pony carousel rides.
Okay.
Which... do they make the ponies walk in a circle?
Or do they, like, tether them to the carousel?
I've seen that, like, in, like, the 1800s. Is that a thing they still do?
Oh, one of those, like the training thing.
Like a sad donkey walking in a circle.
That's no good.
That's not good. So,
I've ridden those.
I don't like that.
My mom put me on those.
See? I knew it. I could have told you that.
I'm sure, I guarantee she has a picture of that somewhere.
There's a picture of Jimmy very happy.
Shirtless 7-year-old sitting atop a very sad. I'm sure it wasn't a horse.
And you're like, yay! You have your arms up excited.
Like I'm dominating nature.
Yeah, I did it. And one thing, one of the main sponsors here is Bearcat Plumbing. So there's a poop problem.
They really are proud of it. Holy
an issue
shit.
Here. Something's happening with the poop is all I'm going to say. That said, let's talk about a murder.
Okay.
Now that we've got the
in
poop.
In this literal shitty town.
Out of the way. This murder take, we're going to go back in time to 2012. Mm-hmm. So it's 10 years. Quick little jaunt back in history here. First off, let's talk about a woman, 48-year-old Jamie Evans.
Mm-hmm.
She has a family here. She's married.
Yeah.
Has 4 children.
My word.
2 live in the house. 2 are grown.
Okay.
She's 48, and the other kids are teenagers, we'll talk about here. She was a teacher and worked as an assistant principal after that. She moved into the administration side and worked as an assistant principal for 15 years.
Jesus.
So, yeah, she's...
She's put up with some stuff.
And she was also a first-grade teacher, and then she taught other subjects. She's seen a lot with these kids. She's like, I've had enough of you goddamn kids after.
How do you have 4 kids when you got all those?
Man, I guess it's just, well, might as well. I don't know. There's more.
They can
Who
come
cares?
To work. They can
Who
come to work
anymore?
With me at least. Yeah.
Who cares anymore? Just fucking torture me.
We're on the exact same schedule. It's fine.
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah, that's true. We're all together anyway.
Yeah. We never have to worry about do they need daycare? No, because they're done when I'm done.
But the teachers with kids, I really feel for you that you can handle it because if you can come home from having 30 children who aren't even yours in a classroom that you've had to deal with, and then get home and be like. Get out of the quiet of your car to walk into a cacophony of 4 children of sound and not ever murder any of them. Hats off to you.
You're amazing.
You are amazing. Or not just like run away and not be heard from for 6 months.
Yeah, because at your day job, you're putting like a specific level of care amongst these children.
Yeah.
Then you go home and you have to up that shit.
Oh, now you have to actually care.
Now you have to do it.
You can't just keep them alive and make sure they know simple math.
Yeah.
Now you have to like actually like make sure they're loved.
Be a part of it.
You're responsible for their psychological health and all this shit. There's a lot more to go with.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, as a teacher, it's just you know enough. You're literate and you're alive.
Right.
I did it. There you go.
A mechanic can go to work, then come home and quit being a mechanic.
Yeah, he doesn't have to.
Teacher goes to work, comes home, and is a more involved teacher. Ugh, what the fuck?
That's brutal. So her husband's name is Daryl, mm-hmm. and he goes away on business a lot.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing pretty well. They have their house they bought for more than $500,000.
Wow.
And this is, 15 years ago they bought the house.
Yeah, so, after the crash.
Yeah, so it's a
nice, beautiful house.
It's a gated community. Yeah. Oh, the house is gorgeous. Yeah. I'll post pictures on the social media of it. It looks like it's by itself. There's no neighbor butted up against it. It's a big, giant house with a big, giant, I don't know if it's a guest house or a four-car garage, one big, giant thing off to the side. It looks like a big compound. Beautiful place. Really is. Nice place. Anyway, so they have two children that are out of the house already, and then they have two children that live at home.
Okay.
There is 15-year-old Mallory and 17-year-old Jake.
Okay.
So there's the Evans family at this point. That's how they live. Now that also it's 2 acres they live on,
Jesus.
So that's why it's spread out. So 2 acres, big house.
Awesome.
In a gated community. Nice stuff. Now they recently switched churches, which was a thing. They went to a Methodist church in Aledo for years, recently switched to a Catholic church.
Oh,
that's a big jump. I think
that's different.
I don't know.
How do you go from Methodist over to
I don't know what the difference is.
Rosaries
if I'm being
and
real honest.
Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, I don't know what Methodists do though.
It's loose, but it's angry.
It is okay.
It's
I don't
loose
know.
But angry.
So is it somewhere in between Episcopalian and Baptist?
Yes,
somewhere in there.
Yeah,
somewhere in the middle.
yes.
Of
it's
okay.
It's not.
I don't know.
It's closer to Baptist than.
By the way, we don't know anything about this. Someone's going to be like, "No, it's this," and you're right. We don't know, so never mind. Moving on.
Just based on the people I know who have done it.
Okay.
And it's different in that terms. Catholic is fucking, regimented. What you're doing.
If you actually do
if
it.
If you're involved.
I don't know if...
It's intense.
I don't know if the Catholic Church is different, but growing up in New York, the church is you have your old people who are... They're mad that they switched the services out of Latin still.
Yeah.
They're like, this is fucking ridiculous. English I got to hear now? I don't want to understand this for an hour and a half. There's those people and the people who are like, I mean, you go on Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're, you
and
know.
Easter.
And
That's
Easter.
About
and the
it.
Rules yeah. are, well, yeah, you just go to confession. Don't worry about it. It's like, they're not real.
We'll get you baptized and we won't see this place again for another 6 months.
You know, you do your confirmation. Somebody buys you one of those little medals. Yeah. You wear it on a chain till you die. And that's how it works.
And hopefully that was enough.
That's it. So that's pretty much how they do it. So I don't know if this is different. Yeah. Either way, they went to the schools in the independent school district, Aledo Independent School District. But both a couple years ago, or I'm sorry, the beginning of this, of January 2010, so the beginning of the 2010 year, 2 years before this, they took Jake out of high school and Mallory out of middle school, and she retired or quit her job because Daryl's business was going very well.
Doing great.
So Jamie quit her job and homeschooled the kids.
Awesome.
So, I mean, she's a teacher, so she actually knows what the fuck she's doing.
I'd rely on that.
Yeah, she actually knows how to set up a lesson plan and do all that. Some people... people do that well, and some people
and the lesson
don't.
Plan's probably most accurate.
It's probably pretty good. Yeah. So yeah, either way, they're home, and everything seems to be fine.
Yeah.
They said that Mallory, she just was like a teenage girl who are usually kind of quiet around adult strangers, so nobody really knew too much about Mallory at the time. But Jake, they said, was a quiet kid, stayed out of trouble. People in his class called him, one person called him the nicest kid, but
really
quiet and shy, but just real nice. And they're just mild people. They said that everybody says they're pretty devout in religion.
Okay.
I mean, enough to switch churches, enough to not just be like, we'll just go whatever, who cares?
Enough to have an opinion, enough to be somewhere else.
Enough to actually look into it and go, actually, I was looking at this.
I like this better.
So, whatever. So everything seems to be going well. On October 4th, 2012, now this week, Jake's been hanging out, and he's been watching Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween a whole bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that came out.
Yeah, from around that time period. It's 5 years early. It came out in 2007.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's watching this, and he's into that and hanging out. And him and his sister, are hanging out one time. He gets, this week, he gets in a fight with his sister.
Okay.
Not a physical fight, yeah, but an argument. Teenage shit. She said something. She made a racist comment.
Oh, boy.
And he got mad at her for it. And so they had like an argument. They had, you know, like an all in the family Archie Bunker argument with his 15-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Sure.
And, you know, that happened that week. So kind of a typical week for them. This one night, though, he goes into his sister's, up to his sister. She's in her room in a bedroom, goes up there and asks her if she wants to watch The Waterboy with him.
Okay.
The Adam Sandler movie.
Yeesh.
Want to watch The Waterboy? I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's silly.
Boy.
Pass the time. Not the best movie at all. But
we won't critique the cinema, but it'll be something we can pass some time with.
It's not offensive. It's stupid. It's right. You know, watch Adam Sandler fling himself into things. Kathy Bates is funny. You know,
want to crush an hour and a half of Henry Winkler with me?
Yeah,
sounds great.
Sit down, have some wink with me. Come on, come on, wink it up. Let's go.
I'm gonna root for Winkler
to bang Kathy Bates. That's the love story I want in this movie. Never mind Fairuza Balk. I don't care about her.
Maybe there's a cameo of Roy Orbison. Let's go.
Oh, we're going to get Roy Orbison in here. All right. So anyway, she said she wasn't interested in watching The Waterboy.
Yeah.
So he hung out for a minute, and then he went into another room. And after a little while, he's bored. He asks her again. Want to watch The Waterboy? Go on.
How about now?
She's like, I don't want to watch the goddamn Waterboy, right? I'm not interested. I'm not winking with you tonight. No. No more winking.
Yeah.
So he said, all right, fine. So what he did is he went downstairs. He was upset about it. He was like, fucking watch The Waterboy with me.
What the fuck?
So I've never been mad at someone because they don't want to watch an Adam Sandler film with me. Imagine that. Imagine how many angry confrontations it would be if every time someone didn't want to watch an Adam Sandler movie, someone else got super angry about it. There'd be carnage in the streets. I'm not watching fucking Mr. Deeds. Leave me alone. No.
No matter how many huge stars he puts in these movies, I'm not watching Jack Nicholson carry him in Anger Management. I'm not doing it.
It's not the same in terms of acting. It's just not. Spanglish? No. I don't want to watch Adam Sandler stare like, huh? I think I'm in love. I don't care. Hit yourself in the head with something, stupid. Where's your guitar, Sandler? We'd have mass carnage if this was going on. So he goes downstairs. Because the sister's bedroom's upstairs. He goes downstairs, and he's mad, and he starts pacing.
Yeah.
Pissed off.
Wearing a hole in the carpet.
Yeah, back and forth, pacing, and then he says, I'm going to grab this. He grabs his dad's knife.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm going to keep this with me.
Okay.
I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's very sensitive about Adam Sandler, apparently.
I can't believe The Waterboy is this important to him.
It's really important. Yeah. I think this kid's lonely, is what it sounds like. But still, I think it's
like
Sandler.
A 10-year-old movie, man. Calm down.
At this point, it's fucking 15 years old. Yeah. It's a 15-year-old movie, 13-year-old movie that, you know, they played on TBS constantly,
right.
So you could really watch it at any time. Everyone's seen The Waterboy multiple times, whether they wanted to or not.
He's just pacing, screaming H2O.
Fuck.
Water sucks.
And then he ran in and he threw his body at his sister and said, don't talk about my mama like that. And very upset.
Mama said, watch The Waterboy.
Oh, my God. So, no, he gets very angry, though. Literally, he's pacing back and forth for 30 minutes.
Jesus.
He goes downstairs, wanders around for about 30 minutes.
It's a third of the movie. Could have watched a third by now.
He could have been on the team by now, literally. He's on the team. So he said he had, about 30 minutes later, he came back upstairs near her room with the knife in his pocket, and he thought about killing her.
Really?
Yeah, he thought about killing her. He's like, that's interesting. I don't know, maybe I'll kill her. So he goes in the room, and they sit there for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he playfully throws a pillow at Mallory like that. And then they have a pillow fight.
Okay.
Which is a way better.
Much safer.
Way better way to handle. By the way, we've never had a scene in Small Town Murder where a guy's got a knife in his pocket and he's like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to kill this person. They go in and then have a pillow fight. We've never had that before. Is that the most innocent, nice thing we've ever had happen on this show?
If every murderer ever just decided on that as the option, things would be much better in this world.
Imagine how long it would take to pillow fight someone to death. You'd die from exhaustion of doing it before they would die from the blows from the pillow raining upon them. Right?
That's what Hitler should have thrown to all of his soldiers. Pillows.
There you go. Yay. That's what the Nazis were going in and...
Nazi and Jewish pillow fights.
Not taking you to the camps. Here's a pillow. It's fluffy.
Arm yourself.
Arm yourself. Could have saved the whole world. World War II, everybody.
Would have been the most fun World War ever.
Oh, it would have been great. We're going to meet on the field of battle and fight with pillows. Then afterwards, we're just going to have like snacks and, you know, we might watch a movie or something. The Water Boy's coming on. It's going to be fun.
The beaches in Normandy would have been way cooler.
Oh, way nicer. Feathers, they'd still be picking feathers out of the sand. So he's, they have a pillow fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, he thought about it, but still, even as he's having a pillow fight with her, he's like, yeah, he thought about it. He's like, if I do kill her, he goes, I don't want to really feel anything. I don't want to, like, hurt her, but right. I definitely do want to kill her, though.
I want to exact my rage.
But not really, because I don't want her to feel it. Uh-huh. I feel like maybe I should kill something or somebody, and if I do, you know, sister's close to me,
right.
And she's been pretty nice, and this pillow fight's fun, so I don't want to really hurt her.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, I can't stab her with this knife or cut her. That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, that's awful. Ridiculous. I mean, obviously, that's a terrible thought for anybody to
have. The suspense is insane right now.
So he went in his room, and he goes, this is much better, and he puts the knife down. He goes, this is terrible. And he picks up a .22 revolver that he had stolen from his grandpa.
Yeah.
It's like, this is much better, I think, as a murder weapon, you know, than a knife. It's less gross. So he went into his sister's room, and he called his sister and said, hey, Mom wants you, because Mom's in another part of the house. Mom's home, too.
What the fuck?
Dad's away in Washington, D.C. on business.
Uh-huh.
He said, Mom wants you. Come here. When she came out of the room, he shoots her with a .22.
Wow.
Multiple times.
Yikes.
She falls down but kind of gets back up again. So, obviously, Mom is wondering, Jamie's wondering, hey, what are those noises? So, he went over and shot his mother, too.
Oh, boy.
Hey, the way, a few times, three, four times, shot at her with this .22. But then, at that point, he said he goes back. And he goes to see Mallory, and she's up and walking down the steps and yelling and, you know, pissed off and what the fuck, and call 911.
An ambulance,
And he was, wow, that's what the hell's going on here. So he said he tried to, like, tell her, like, oh, no, it's okay. I'll help you out or whatever. And then he pushed her down and shot her in the head.
Jesus.
And then he went back because he was like, well, if Mallory got up from being shot, Mom might be getting up, too. So he went over and shot his mom a couple more times, too, just to make sure. Just to make sure.
What kind of stranglehold do Adam Sandler movies have on this boy's life?
I mean, thank God he didn't see The Wedding Singer, because he would have been, you know, in love with Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore could have been, like, stalked and murdered, I feel like, at this point with this guy. So this is obviously...
This is horrific.
Horrific. He's 17 years old. There's literally...
His life is over.
No reason for this. Yeah, he doesn't feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
He stands there for a minute.
Yeah.
Obviously, his mother and his sister, they're both dead.
Yeah.
He's murdered them in cold blood for no reason in their own home. His mom didn't even know. He didn't even ask her to watch The Water Boy.
Right. Not even give her an opportunity.
No. She's probably setting up tomorrow's lesson plan.
Right.
And he's coming in and popping a cap in her. This is
crazy.
It's fucking crazy. So he calmly places the gun on the kitchen counter, sits there for a minute, and then calls 911.
Yeah. Good idea.
And we have his 911, the transcript from that. And it is, let me tell you, it's chilling.
Okay.
It is, I listened to the audio, and it is fucking disturbing.
What does he say?
The calm.
Really?
In his voice. You would be it's calmer than you would be ordering a pizza.
Mm.
If you order a pizza, you're like, you know how you feel like you're on the spot?
Yeah.
Like when you back.
Oh, God, the anxiety
back
is
when
insane.
You, that's why now I haven't called a place to order a pizza in fucking years. Now there's apps. I don't want to hear about that shit.
They're busy, so they're talking really fast. Yeah. There's all kinds of noise in the background. I'm like,
let me get a thin crust.
Without his pizza. You're like, what can I get you? Let me get a large plate. Anything on that? What do you want? Anything? I'm unprepared. I'm a salad. Do you have salad? Yeah, we got salad. They have. Well, what? What are the other sizes?
Yes, there's sizes.
You got a lot. Hey, take that out. It's going over the. All right, you got. All right, yeah,
sir,
we got
hurry
large.
Up. We got other people here.
We got large and small. And I said, pick the fucking order up. What are you? So yeah, there's we got Caesar.
Would you call
know.
Back when you got your order right? We got other people.
Pepperoni.
That's how it feels.
That's how it feels. You're on the spot. Oh, God.
I get it. You've got a line. I'm trying so hard.
Imagine you just murdered two people and you call 911.
Yeah.
You'd be very much. Yeah. He just calls and he's like, hi. Mm. He's the calmest thing I've ever heard in my life. Wow. And it's that 17-year-old kid's voice. He doesn't sound like an adult by any stretch of the imagination. Squishy. Just sounds like kind of like in between. Yeah. Sounds like a teenager.
Sounds like Mark
Not
Wahlberg.
A child. Not in a. Yeah. Sounds like, hey. Hey, guys. Hey, 911. You want to watch The Water Boy or what? No? Why not? I'll fucking kill you. I swear to God. So
Lawrence Taylor's in it. Come over.
Come on. So he said, I'll give you the here we go. They say, what's your emergency? That's the question. Mm-hmm. And he says, my house.
No, okay.
Because they said, where is your emergency? Yeah. And he said, my house.
Right.
Which tells you.
Give us an address, sir.
Yeah. And they said, you know, and she said, what's the address? And he gave the address. And she said, what's the emergency? And he said, I just killed my mom and my sister. Uh-huh. And this lady, you hear it in her voice. She goes, what? Like, not what she, because it was just like, my house, like real calm. Like, I don't know. There's some like thing. Like, and it was just, I just killed my mom and my sister. And she goes, what? And then you hear almost like she's like, there's a pause. There's a pause like, no. There's a pause like, is this a prank or is this real? And she decides to, either way, she's going to play it straight up. And if it's a prank, it's a prank. But if it's real, she's going to actually play it like that. Because if you're like, oh, bullshit, he might hang up. So she says, what? You know, how did you do that?
Uh-huh.
You know, because she says, what would you say? And he says, I said, I just killed my mom and my sister. How'd you do that? And he says, I shot them with a .22 revolver.
Oh, boy.
And they go back and she's like, okay, stay on the line. Are you sure? Are you sure they're dead?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, they're dead. And he goes, she's like, are you all right? And he goes, I'm fine. I'm fine. And she starts asking him here. She said, I want you to stay on the phone. Where's the gun? And he says, the gun's on the kitchen counter. I'm all right.
Yeah.
He's just real calm. They said, you know, she asked his name and all that. And she said, are you on any medication? And he goes, no, I've been to the allergist. He was at the allergist earlier that day. His mom took him to the allergist.
She thinks she wants to know if he's got some fucking Benadryl in him.
Listen, I've been going to the allergist. I'm on allergy medication. So like other than like Zyrtec and Advil and. And Sudafed. I don't take anything else.
Some over-the-counter shit.
He says for like for allergies and headaches and stuff. So it's yeah.
Wow.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Just going to take a quick break from the show to tell you a little bit about the safest sponsor that's ever been, Simply Safe.
Oh, simplysafe.com. SimpliSafe.com.
Springtime's coming here. So you got the spring, you got fresh air, fresh starts, and you clean your house. That's all fresh. It's also the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. Make sure your newly cleaned, nice house is secure. That's important.
Well protected, yeah.
It's the only security system that Jimmy and I will use, and we recommend it highly. We both have it on not only our studios, our houses, anything we have that needs protection. Simply Safe is the way to go. It's so easy to install that even we can do it. You guys will love it because you'll feel secure. You will not be small town murdered in your own home is what it is if you have Simply Safe, because they're going to protect you. They're trusted by experts. It was named the best home security systems for 2024 by U.S. News and World Report, and Newsweek awarded Simply Safe the best customer service in home security. Simply Safe has given us and our many listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. We want you to feel good. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/small. That's simplysafe, SimpliSafe.com/small. There's there's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Now back to the show.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
She says, is there any reason that you're so angry at your mother and sister? And he said, Jesus Christ, quote, I don't know. It's weird. I wasn't even really angry with them. It just kind of happened. I've been kind of planning on killing for a while now.
Wow.
And she says, the two of them or just anybody?
Yeah.
And she's engaging him.
Good for her.
Because at one point, he sounds kind of like he's trailing off, and she goes, it's okay, honey, stay with me here. Yeah. Like, she's like real, like, you know, like, no, talk to me. It's because at one point he says something, mixes something up, and he goes, I'm sorry. And she goes, no need to apologize. It's okay. Let's talk. We'll talk through.
Don't go hurt anybody else. Yeah. We got this.
Let's get all the information out here. Let's really incriminate you. So,
as long as you're not frustrated, things seem to go okay.
Seems to be all right. I'm watching the water boy right over here now. As a matter, let's watch it together. Oh boy, that Henry Winkler's a treasure, isn't he? So the two of them are just anybody, and he says pretty much anybody, and she says, "Here's the why."
Yeah,
that's the question.
There it is.
We all want to know why, and most of the time we never get the answer to that question. Right. So it's interesting. He says, "Quote, I don't know. I don't really like people's attitude." Is what he said. I don't like people's attitude. Quote, I think it's kind of very, like, you know, emotional. They're verbally rude to each other and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just my family is kind of really, I guess this is really selfish to say, but I just felt like they were suffocating me in a way. I don't know. I'm pretty, I guess, evil or whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry. And that's when she says, no need to apologize. I don't know.
Is it worse to hear that as why or just not know?
I would rather hear because the shit demon told me to. It came from the toilet. The plumbing's a lie. The plumbing is lies. And then I would rather hear that because like, okay, you're crazy.
Right.
This is normal. They're verbally rude to each other and kind of like suffocate. You're in a 5,000 square foot house. Right. You're not suffocating. There's four people in there.
How are you breathing now? Is everything better? Did that do it? Because no, I'm sure it didn't.
That's what I mean. Like, that's not stuff that you kill over.
No.
Like, they're kind of annoying. You're 17. Guess what? In a year, move the fuck out.
Right.
Go to college and get the fuck out of there. Or go whatever. Get the hell out of there.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be there.
No.
That's whenever kids are like this age, when you're that age, time is slow.
Oh, God, yes.
Years take so fucking long. And when you're 17, you feel like, I'll never be an adult. Whereas
14 was crazy for me.
Oh, God.
Because I was
forever.
Like, this took 14 years to get here?
To get to nowhere?
Right.
To get to this.
I still got four more?
Oh, God, this is terrible.
And even then, at 18, I was like, now what do I do?
Yeah, it's a problem.
How?
I never got that. Like the whole, like with Columbine, that was the worst because I was like, you were about to not ever have to go there again.
Two
or
months.
See any of those people ever again.
1 month. It was April
Done.
20th. One more month. It's
Done.
Over.
I that's the thing where I'm like, my God, how fucking like, how small has your brain gotten to the point where you can't see past, in a month, I'll never see any of these people
Why are
again.
You hyper-focused on how you feel at the moment?
It's crazy.
Jesus Christ.
So, he's kind of suffocating me. Mm. So, I don't know. He says, I don't know. I guess I'm just evil. I don't know why I did it.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Good answer. So, she said, were your mom and sister in their beds?
Mm-hmm.
This is a nighttime thing. And he says, no.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. Then he says, she's like typing.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know. This is really going to mess me up in the future.
Now you see that?
I told my sister that my mom needed her. She was in her room and she came out of her room and I shot her. And she rolled down the stairs and I shot her again.
Mm-hmm.
He says it real, just like that.
It's
and that's what
casual.
Happened. Like he was saying, like he just, I went over here and then I went to math class and then there was lunch and I came home on the bus. Real calm. He says, and then I went down And I shot my mom maybe 3 or 4 times, but I'll never forget this, he says. My sister, she came downstairs and she was screaming. And I was telling her that I'm sorry, but to just hold still, that, you know, I was going to make it go away. But she kept freaking out, you know, because you shot her a few times. But she finally fell down and I shot her in the head probably 3 or 4 times.
Did he have to reload this fucking gun?
It's a revolver.
Yeah.
He had to have, because he's, yeah, I think he shot them each 3 times, yeah, and then he probably reloaded and came back and did it.
Sometimes they have 10 rounds in those revolvers like that.
That's true,
the bullets
too
are so small, you can fit 8 or 10.
Guns are small, too.
Even still, that's, Jesus, man, he's really unloading.
It's a lot.
He's letting loose a lot of these.
And just walking back and forth. So they said, are you in the kitchen? And he said, yes. Uh-huh. And they said, where's your dad? And he said, he's out of town, Washington, D.C., and I guess for future reference, I don't really want to see any of my family members, like, visiting or whatever.
Oh, they're going to be so mad at me.
I just don't want any type of visitors.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
We'll talk about that later. I'm like, not...
You haven't even... Yeah. You're not even in custody yet. You're still in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So then they said, you don't want to hurt yourself, do you? Because they have to ask that. And he says, just to let you know, I hate the feeling of killing someone. And then he sighs, and there's a pause, and he says, I'm going to be messed up.
Mm.
Yeah, you are already. She says, you just take a deep breath. We have deputies coming, and they're going to help you. Just to let you know, we're going to help you. We're not going to hurt you, she says. So I'm trying to calm him down. And he said, quote, I understand if y'all want to.
I get
it. This is really just disturbing. So yeah, and she said, "No, we're there to help you, Jake. Everybody thinks we want to do bad things. Everybody thinks we want to do bad things, but right or wrong, we want to help people." I was talking about the police,
the cops, yeah.
And we're going to help you. Do you understand that, Jake? And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Is it a gated community? Is there a gate?" And he said, "Yes." Do you want the password?
We do, Jake.
Sure, yeah. Jake. I mean, they have their own key to those gates, but let's make it quicker. She said, "It's going to be all right. It really is. They'll be there shortly. Won't be long now. Jake, would you mind turning any of the porch lights on? You know, really.
Hey, give us some light. Let us see you."
And he says, I've turned the front lights on. Then he pauses. And then he says, I was thinking of my sister. She was 15. Just pauses and then it's like, oh, sorry. I zoned for a second there. And she said, how long ago did the shootings happen? And he said, about 30 minutes ago. And she said, you'll be all right, Jake. And he said, I'm really worried about like nightmares and stuff like that. Are there any types of medications and stuff?
Jake, we'll worry about that later, man.
You got bigger concerns than nightmares at this point. Yeah, he doesn't get the scope of what's going on.
He thinks you shoot people, go to jail, and they start treating you. No, that's not how it works, man.
No, that's not in Texas. They tie you like those donkeys, and you have to walk around in a circle. She says, well, I think there is. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure your family will get you the support you need. And he says, I don't mean to sound like a wimp or anything, but this is, wow, I've never, like, done anything violent in my whole life. I don't mean to sound like a wimp, but I've never murdered any family members before. No, really, you're good.
I don't want
to
sound like a weak 17-year-old boy.
Yeah, you know, like a child. She says, you don't sound like a violent person.
Yeah.
Okay. But help will be provided for you, medical and psychological. That will be provided, so you don't have to worry about that right now. Take deep breaths for me now. You're doing fine. In through your nose, out through your mouth, so you don't hyperventilate, okay? So he's breathing, and she said, good, you sound calmer. It's working. And he said, quote, just out of nowhere, I didn't want them to feel pain. That's why I used a gun. But it's like everything went wrong.
Yeah.
You know, because 17-year-olds aren't good at anything. That's why. They're very rarely are 17-year-olds good at stuff that they've never done before, like, you know, murder. So they said, my officers are almost there. Would you be willing to walk out on your own? Like, so they don't have to come into the house.
Right.
And he says, yes, I forgot to say before I called. I put the gun on the counter. It's still loaded. So she said, okay, that's fine. I'll stay on the phone until it's time for you to walk out. Are you on your home phone? Is it cordless? And he says, yes. Mm-hmm. And she says, Jake, what I want you to do is walk outside. But when you're walking outside, stay visible. Don't walk behind any furniture. When you open the front door, put your hands up in the air. Just walk very slowly. Walk outside. Keep your hands visible. Uh-huh. All right, sweetie?
Yeah. Sweet. It's smart.
I mean, yeah, she's got him talking him out. Yeah. I mean, that's good. She said, I'll talk to you later. No, you won't.
No.
I'll never talk to you
this
again.
This will be the last time I ever hear your voice.
Hey, Jay, just called to check on you. How you doing? So he says, thank you. And she said, "You're welcome." Uh-huh. And then he walked outside. He walked outside with his hands above his head, you know, just calm as can be.
Turn himself right in.
Calm as can be. He's waiting outside the house when they get there. And so right away, the 911 tape is, I mean, as incriminating as you fucking get.
Oh, God.
That's not good.
Yeah, there's not much you can do to refute that.
He described it all. It's very, very rough. His lawyer, when they're talking about court proceedings here, objected to this being released to the public.
Really?
Yeah. He said, quote, "The problem is the 911 tape. Anybody in America can punch a button on the computer and hear it. Anybody in America now can now punch a computer." How old does it sound to say punch a computer? Like, nobody punches anything on a computer. That's something you would say, like, back in the day, like in the 70s. Like, yeah, punch some stuff up. Punch up some numbers on your computer there, nerd. But this, no, can punch a computer and see the statement. "This may or may not get into evidence at the time of the trial, but you could certainly don't want the jurors seeing stuff like that before you ever get a chance to talk to them or impanel them or tell them you don't consider stuff like that until you see it at the time it's introduced." So,
yeah, but there is no reasonable thought that if you say anything onto a 911 tape, that will never be played.
Yeah, well, that's like saying OJ going to trial and saying that I want a jury that no one knows I drove in the Bronco. Like, well, we all were There's watching the lot. Fucking playoff game, so you know what?
That's
we know
your
about
fault.
It.
Yeah, so you shouldn't have done it then.
It's a problem. So they get him in. He makes a full confession, and I have the whole confession right here, and that's what we're going to do. We'll read the confession and try to figure out what the fuck is going on in this kid's head here. At least had some time to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. I had just got home from the allergist, and forgive me because it's in his handwriting, so it's like, you know, kind of crappy,
17-year-old
crappy teenage handwriting. "I just got home from the allergist and having lunch when I started watching Rob Zombie's Halloween. In the movie, a 12-year-old boy murders his stepfather, sister, and his sister's boyfriend. It was like the third time this week I watched it." Well, first of all, that's too many times to watch that
in
movie.
A week?
It's not that good of a movie for that.
Yeah.
"While watching it, I was amazed at how at ease the boy was during the murders and how little remorse he had afterward."
Yeah, dog, it's called acting.
It's a movie, bro. Yeah, that's not... It's not a documentary.
No.
Like, they're not following. This
isn't
a movie.
Raw footage, Holmes. What are you talking about?
No, it's a movie directed by a guy who sang like this. That's right. Like, what are you talking about? What do you expect?
Rob Zombie.
Nothing against Rob Zombie, but I'm just saying. It's,
he's the darkest movie director on earth.
Yeah,
that's what he makes.
He's dark.
Creep shit.
Dude's dark. Yeah. That's what I mean. You expect that. He said, "I was thinking to myself, it would be the same for me when I kill someone. What does this say? After I watched the movie, I put it back in the case and threw it in the trash can so that people wouldn't think that it influenced me in any way.
Until I say it out loud."
So he thought about it and then was like, I don't want Rob Zombie taking any heat for this.
That's very thoughtful.
Between Adam Sandler and Rob Zombie, I'm really leaving a lot in my wake here. I don't want to, mom, my sister, Rob Zombie, Adam Sandler, not bringing anybody else down.
There's a lot of careers I could ruin with this.
Taking careers down. This is bad stuff. Lawrence Taylor. I mean, you know what? This could only help his reputation, honestly.
Truly.
So.
The man's in the movie being a motivational speaker.
I mean, come on. It can only help him. So that's what he said. I've never heard of that. He thought that's how much forethought he had. With all that forethought, he never thought, oh, this is a dumb idea to kill people.
Yeah.
That never crossed his mind. It just was like,
killing people, sure, obviously, but I don't want Rob Zombie to pay for this.
But he's thought to the point of Rob Zombie getting blamed for it, which is really deep into it. That's like five steps past the whole
thing. After the murder's done. You know, he can already see the murder done.
Murder, trial, publication. We're talking 2 years later.
Yeah.
Like, you're really, wow. He said, "After that, I went outside to hit golf balls in the yard for about an hour."
Can you imagine?
He's got a yard big enough to hit golf balls.
Yeah,
that's pretty
nice. Room for golf ball driving?
Not bad. "I went inside around 5:30 p.m. What a bad day here.
Yeah.
And just sat in the living room thinking about how I was going to kill my family."
Fuck, man.
You're a parent. You walk in the room there. You say hi to your kid. He's sitting there eating fucking Cheez-Its, and you're like, how's it going? And he's sitting there plotting your murder.
Doing great.
Jesus Christ. "My plan was to kill my sister and my mom at the house, then go over to my grandparents and kill my oldest sister, Emily, and my two grandparents.
What the fuck, man?
Wow. That is...
the whole family.
Everybody. Dad's in D.C. I don't know why he waited till dad. Maybe he thought dad was a threat.
Yeah, dad would stop this.
Dad, yeah, he was physically afraid of dad, which is... That's interesting that he would wait till his dad's out of town. Yeah. No thought of it. That's weird. Then I was going to wait until morning and kill my other sister, Audrey, because she was visiting from college. Wow. This is fucking insane.
He's going to have five bodies laying out?
Apparently, two different houses. Yeah. After I got up from the couch, it was between 6 and 6:30. So he sat there for an hour thinking about this. My grandma had called my mom to ask if I wanted to go to the cleaners with her.
Uh-huh.
Well, that sounds exciting. I went, and while we were in town, we got dinner. So your grandma took you out to dinner.
Yeah.
That sounds nice. I'd love to go out to dinner with my grandmas.
Thanks for
They're
going,
both dead. I'd love that.
Thanks for running an errand with me. I will buy dinner for us, and we can roll. This is, what a fucking thought.
He's hitting golf
balls. I'm
going
to murder you in a little bit.
He's hitting golf balls, having dinner with grandma. This is a nice day. So we made a quick stop at the post office. Then she dropped me off at my house. I took my dinner to the pool house.
What? He has a pool house and enough room to hit golf balls.
This kid lives...
This spoiled motherfucker.
He lives on Johnny Depp's island without the ocean, except it's Texas. But he has all the amenities of Johnny Depp's island.
This sounds fantastic. Mm. What a life. What, you got a fucking quad you got out there to go rip around on too?
This is... Wow, man. If you have this and you kill, we should have killed everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody we ever met in our whole families.
The wake of bodies should be deep.
How many generations can I go back that have caused this?
Waist deep in bodies.
I am angry here. Wow. Dinner at the pool house and watched Family Guy for a little bit.
What a day!
How do you kill after Family Guy? How do you kill after that?
I don't know.
That's just silly. How would you not?
And 2012, this was a great time for Family Guy.
This
Holy
is hilarious.
Shit.
This is, wow. I don't even know what to say about this.
I can't imagine.
I went back into the house and saw that my mom and sister were watching the debate.
Uh-huh.
It's 2012, presidential debate. Right. I went outside again to swing freely with my golf club. Okay.
Whatever that means.
Swing, I guess, just take cuts, not actually hit anything, maybe. Practice swings.
Swing free.
Around 9 p.m., I went upstairs in my house to watch Family Guy. It's still on.
More
Family Guy. About 10 minutes later, my sister came upstairs and asked if I wanted to watch a movie. I said no because earlier in the day at the allergist appointment, she made racist comments about a black worker that was mowing the grass. She said, ha, oh, my God.
Don't say it. God.
There's no racial slur, but it's in the fucking document. She said, ha, that black guy looks like a monkey. In the past, Mallory had always said racist comments like that and would make fun of homeless people. Yeah, she's you're also 2 years older, so you can.
She's also 15.
I was going to say, when you're 2 years older, you can try to talk and be like, yo, what you're doing is not cool. What the fuck? You can mold and help.
Yeah.
You can mold. If your younger sibling's being a dick, you can at least try to help it.
Yeah.
Or argue. I don't know. Do it that way. Kids argue about shit like that all the time.
Yeah.
Ever watch All in the Family? It's all they do is argue about politics. It's do it. You don't kill each other.
And in defense of somebody who just said something stupid.
it's a terrible. She's obviously a moron.
I've looked at white people before and said, ha, that guy looks like a monkey.
That's
you
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Yes, it's right, because that's a horrible thing to say about a black person. But perhaps it was innocent and she just saw somebody that had a primate feature.
I think she's a 15-year-old that made a fucking shitty racist comment. That
too.
Hopefully in 5 years she'd be pretty embarrassed about. But you know what I mean? That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
An idiot kid, and your parents aren't raising you exactly well here. So,
also, as a 17-year-old brother, maybe turn to her with your mouth open and be like, you can't say that, you idiot.
Well, he said, quote, I scolded her for what she said and told her that she was becoming white trash.
Not bad. That's a good.
Fair. That's it. That should be the end
of
the argument.
Yeah.
No, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're turning into white trash. Yeah. And then the argument continues and goes on. Yeah, that's what it should be. But we continued arguing in the doctor's office. And when we got back into the car, I told her to look up the word lynching and to see if she had the same opinion about black people. Yeah. She then said that it would never be a part, she would never be a part of a lynching, but is still racist. She said, I'm not like lynching racist, but I just don't like black people, was her response.
Weird.
I then said that she makes me sick and called her a racist bitch. That is something after I told her I didn't want to watch a movie. She went to mom and I went down. She went to her room and I went downstairs to my parents' closet and got my dad's blue foldable knife. I went back upstairs and kept pacing back and forth, imagining killing Mallory. Jesus Christ.
For the violation of being what he deems as racist.
Oh, yeah, oh, dipshit is what she is. She's just being a dipshit. Yeah.
She's 15, man.
Yeah. Thoughts of causing her pain kept entering my mind and were really bothering me. But then I'd think about the times she hurt my feelings or really pissed me off. Mm-hmm. So finally, around 9:30, I knocked on her door and asked her if she wanted to watch Waterboy. She said yes and sat on the couch beside the sofa I was on. See, before it said no in the court documents. But I told her that I was going to the art room to get a pin.
A pen, maybe?
It's P-I-N, yeah. But I don't know. When I was in the art room, I stood there again imagining killing Mallory. After 30 minutes, I finally went into the room and sat on the sofa with the knife in my pocket. She had no idea. I sat for about 5 minutes, then playfully threw a pillow at Mallory. We started having a pillow fight in the room. After a while, I thought to myself that if I were going to kill my mom and Mallory, I wouldn't want them to feel anything. So I decided to kill them both with the .22 revolver I stole from my grandpa. I told Mallory I needed to go downstairs for a little bit. After I saw that my mom was in the study, I went to my closet, misspelled, by the way, with an I,
really?
Closet, and picked up his grammar and spelling is terrible.
Maybe
but his
mom's not doing so great.
Maybe that, or also he's a
lazy dipshit.
He's also I don't know. Maybe your grammar goes away when you're in a police interrogation room. And picked up the pistol. I set it on the bed and was nervously opening the cylinder over and over again. Jesus Christ! I then spent probably over an hour walking nervously around the house, thinking how life will never be the same and how I would never see them again. Well, just don't do it then.
Contemplating consequences.
Yeah, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Around 11:15, I went upstairs with the pistol and stood there for about 5 minutes. I knocked on the door and told Mallory that Mom needed her. She came out of the corner. She came out and out of the corner of her eye saw me pointing the gun at her. She thought I was joking and told me that I was freaking her out. I shot her in the back and then in the head.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. I ran down to the study and shot my mom 3 times. Fuck. In shock, I ran to my room and was screaming at the top of my lungs that I am really messed up and that I killed my mom and sister. I emptied the shells. Jesus. On my bed. I heard noises and realized that Mallory was still alive. While I loaded the gun back up, I was shouting that I was sorry, and then I ran as fast as I could to kill her. I then made sure my mom was dead and shot her again in the head. Fuck. After the shooting, I walked outside for a few minutes, then came back inside. Very shocked and scared, I placed the gun in the kitchen, on the kitchen counter, and walked into the living room to dial 911. Okay. When I look at people, especially teenagers, I see them as being very cruel to one another emotionally. It seems that their favorite hobby is picking on someone else. The people who are bullies and racist and full of themselves are the real evil ones. And it amazes me because those three qualities are extremely common today. I was very sad because I felt like my own family were becoming the people I hate. I know now, though, that I'm done with killing. Well, that's good to
know.
Thank God. It's the most dreadful and terrifying thing I will ever experience, and what happened last night will haunt me forever.
You're not supposed to experience it, man.
Dude.
What the fuck?
Christ, bro. How many people come from families that you don't agree with their leanings on any? Like,
right.
That's so common.
How do you... that's what makes us people, is that we're so different.
Well, you might be. Try to talk them into your side on either wherever you are. Try to talk them into. I don't know, but or don't talk to them anymore. Right. There's a lot of options here besides. Let me shoot them in the head instead of watching the water boy.
Wow.
I rarely say this, but watching an Adam Sandler film, a much better option than killing your entire fucking family here. So, Jesus Christ. At the court hearing, he has a bond hearing, and his dad testifies that Jake has no money or no income, and Daryl does not plan on posting any bond or doing anything to help his son here monetarily.
Well, no, I'm not.
Yeah, you killed everybody.
You took everybody.
So the question is competence. His lawyer is saying he doesn't think he's competent. So he is ordered, they actually delay the whole thing because he's ordered to a state mental hospital. He's there for months.
Really?
Because he was ruled incompetent to stand trial at first because they had to figure out what the fuck is wrong with this kid for a second.
Yeah, why'd this happen?
So a competency evaluation said that eventually he was restored to full competency.
Okay.
And he was scheduled to go to court. Now, the problem is he's 17 when this happens.
Yeah.
There's a real gray area with 17-year-olds because you can't charge them with capital murder.
Yeah.
But they're 17, so they don't know how to proceed with it because they want to charge. It's Texas. They really want to charge them with capital murder, but they can't charge them with capital murder because he's 17. So they're like, shit. So their best option for him to get the longest amount of time is going to be a plea deal.
Yeah.
Because then they can have some control over it. So he ends up pleading to, I mean, his confession is, I read it to you. There's no getting out of that.
It's cut and dry.
It's cut and dried. If you're sane, you're going away. That's it. So he pleads guilty to 2 counts of murder.
Okay.
And as part of it, the state waives the capital murder charge. That's the deal.
Sure.
So they can't ever bring it up again. Not that they could anyway, but even if the laws change, now they can't go back and charge him with that. So why give him a plea? They said that because it was in limbo, the Supreme Court had already banned death sentences for defendants 17 and younger, and later ruled that life without parole for defendants 18 and under is also unconstitutional.
Okay.
So they had no real, they couldn't hit him with that big gun of life without or death penalty. So in Texas, the only Texas options for, that's all you could do with like teens accused of capital murder. What the fuck? So the state legislature was trying to figure out what to do with that. And one of the guys said, we weren't sure whether the fix is going to hold up and stand constitutional scrutiny. So they just scrapped it and they didn't know what to do with this kid. So this was the best solution. Even his family said this seemed like the best solution. They said that his mental issues, reportedly he had a lot of them, but they were significant enough that he couldn't stand trial, but not significant enough to be called.
I don't believe so.
No.
He recounted it so calmly.
He's just kind of an asshole and a spoiled asshole at that.
Yeah, right. That's the other part.
He's got a pool house.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the Chris Rock joke about Columbine where he goes, I saw that picture. There were 6 of them. This 3-on-3 with a half court.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, you had friends. And that's what I'm like, you had a pool house. You're hitting golf balls.
You can't do it.
I'm sure your family would have sent you to college. You had all these options, and you fucked it up. I have not a lot of sympathy.
And
there
I
for
realize
that
people change from, like, I'm not the same dude that I was when I was 17, but. I mean, a lot of the views I still have now are shaped from then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that this kid can be rehabilitated and given back to the public. This is horrifying.
I mean, I don't know. You have to know. It's almost like before that, you need to know, like, what's the mechanism?
Yeah.
What went wrong?
Yeah.
If a plane is fucked up, you have to find, you can't just go, well, I don't know, it seems fine now.
Right.
You have to find, what was the thing that made it not be able to fly the first time
and his
fix
issues
it?
Were,
so what's the fix?
His issues were focused on the way those people behave in a small, very tight circle of people.
Yeah.
Wait till he gets out into the world and sees
that
circle is fucking everywhere.
People are different. You're never going to talk to people where everybody's going to agree with you about everything or you're going to, it's not going to happen. And I'm going to say this, we all have to figure out a way to fucking
get
live
along.
Amongst each other.
Right.
We have to. So you can't, You can't do this. You can't just kill people because
they don't think and like the same things you like.
No. And even if they are assholes, even if you know they're assholes, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Because they probably think you're an asshole too. So right. it sucks either way. So no, stop killing people is what we're saying here. So there's enough murder for us forever. So we don't need anybody don't do it on our behalf.
We're all full up.
Don't do it on our behalf anyway. So never mind, that would be the worst. Rob Zombie getting blamed, we get blamed. They said they needed more murders. I had to do it. So the lawyer said that he expressed gratitude to the Rusk State Hospital for restoring Evan's competency.
Well done, Rusk.
Thanks for fixing him up, everybody. The prosecutor said, this is a horrible tragedy. When that happens, it's just impossible to know how, as a family, you're supposed to deal with it. They've been working hard to deal with all the circumstances of putting that back together. So sentencing comes around. He's got a court-appointed attorney. His family writes a letter and signs it, like his entire family, both sides, everything like that. They said, none of us want Jake and our family to be subjected to a capital murder trial, which we feel would not be in his or our family's best interest. They don't want it dragged out.
Right.
I don't blame them. We wish to close this chapter in our lives in order to continue healing as a family. And the prosecutor also said, he found the family inspiring with how quickly they forgave him and how wholly they embraced him.
Oh, sweet.
It's just awe-inspiring to see that amount of love for this kid.
Hmm. What?
Yeah. Okay. The family, that's very nice that they're a forgiving family, but it sounds a little too loving from the prosecutor. I'm just real, well, I'm going to take the kid out to lunch. You know what? I'm going to take him to the cleaners and out to lunch. But the judge says, you, sir, young man, may fuck off 45 years in prison.
Pretty good
for him. He must serve at least half of his sentence before becoming eligible for parole.
Uh-huh.
So he'll be given credit for the 2.5 years he spent in a mental hospital and jail when he's awaiting trial. So 2012, 22.5 years.
What is that?
2034.
That he can be out.
Yeah, so another 12 years or so he'll be out.
I don't like that at all.
So, I hope somebody figures out what the hell happened in that kid's head. Because
he'll be like 45 and on the street.
Hopefully not as angry. As whatever. And let's just give that kid a copy of The Waterboy and send him on his way. I don't know.
He's so mad.
He's very angry. But either way, that's it. He's still there. He's in prison in Texas. And I'm sure not having a great time in prison. If he thinks it's hard at home when your sister's a dick.
Wait till you see the
world. Wait till you have a cellmate.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
That too.
So that said, that is Small Town Murder Express, everybody.
You think you're going to have disagreements at home?
Let's do that. Wait till you're fucking arguing over somebody shitting 6 inches from your head.
Right.
Can you fucking give me a courtesy flush while I taste your shit in my mouth from 3 feet away? That is prison.
About to have some pillow fights, sir.
Yeah, that's a different kind of pillow fight. That's Small Town Murder Express.
Oh boy.
Thank you so much for joining us for that. Remember, check out Small Town Murder on Thursdays, Crime and Sports on Tuesdays, of course, patreon.com/crimeandsports, and get all your information at shutupandgivememurder.com.
Pull this thing into the station.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Choo-choo again. All aboard.
See you next week.
And we're out of here.
Bye.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Small Town Murder early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.